Good morning and welcome in the name of Christ. Good to have you with us today for this morning's message. Today we are drawing from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. A very familiar passage where Paul speaks about the armor of God. I know that many of you have gone to the nursing home to visit a friend or a family member. I have certainly visited many nursing homes over the years. When we do go for a visit, we usually find folks engaged in many different kinds of activities like crafts, groups performing music, or gathered together in the dining hall playing bingo. But now in some of our nursing homes and retirement villages, especially in some of our larger cities, there is a much different activity taking place. It seems that more and more muggers and identity thieves are targeting areas where there is a high concentration of senior citizens because they are perceived to be easy marks. Not only can thugs snatch purses and wallets from seniors who often carry cash, phones, and credit cards, but they can also quickly sell these things over the dark web. So in response to this new plague on our senior citizens, some nursing homes are offering self-defense courses. In some nursing homes today, you can find martial arts instructors teaching great grandmas and grandpas the art of self-defense. To an outsider, it might look like a senior fight club. These instructors are teaching seniors how to turn a cane into a formidable weapon. Many seniors do use some kind of a cane or walking aid, and if they don't, these instructors are suggesting that they get one, whether they actually need one to help them walk or not. The reason is that pepper spray, tasers, and other self-defense devices are often banned and will be taken away in places like public schools, government offices, or planes. But no one is going to take away your cane. Instead of learning punches or karate chops, seniors are being taught how to wield their canes for defending themselves against would-be attackers. Sadly, many seniors today are seen as easy prey by those looking for some quick cash. While grandma may look helpless as she leans on her cane in the grocery store, that cane can become a very useful weapon and can quickly put an assailant on the ground. That is, if she knows how to use it. A martial arts instructor named Buck Buckmaster is one of the teachers of extreme cane defense. After his own 69-year-old mother was attacked, he began offering his cane defense classes to seniors in the city where he lives. In his classes, seniors learn how to be aware of their surroundings and to try and avoid putting themselves in vulnerable situations. But if that fails, they also learn how to use their canes to crack skulls, hook a leg, or poke an attacker in the nether regions where it will do the most good. While a walking cane is associated with a disability, it is also one of the most effective and easy-to-use weapons in defense of oneself. You can carry it anywhere, and as we've already said, even on an airplane. It's a medical device, not a weapon, so no one is going to try to take Grandma's cane away from her. Plus, unlike other weapons that might have to be fished out of a pocket or a purse, a cane is always in hand and ready to be wielded. When we think about canes and crutches, many secular members of our society look at people of faith in the same way that they do senior citizens. They think of them as a bunch of vulnerable and weak people who are easy targets, easy to dupe and to take advantage of. Many of you will remember who Larry Flint was. He came to fame in the 1970s and made his money from selling pornography. He once said, "There's nothing good I can say about religion. People just use it as a crutch." I also remember what Jesse Ventura once said. For those of you who may not remember, he used to be a professional wrestler and was governor of Minnesota from 1999 to 2003. He said, "Organized religion is a sham, and a crutch for weak-minded people who need strength in numbers. So how should we respond to this kind of criticism? If non-believers call our faith a cane or a crutch, then perhaps we need to embrace that, and we need to learn how to use our crutches against the evil powers of this world. Being a Christian in America today seems to be harder than it has ever been. Christians are being attacked from all sides because of their faith, especially if they try to defend their beliefs in the public forum. Whether from the world of academia, secular philosophers, or popular Hollywood personalities, the pressure to set aside certain biblical truths and moral standards continues to grow. Therefore, we need to learn how to protect ourselves from the things that threaten to harm us and derail our Christian faith. This is what Paul is talking about in the last few comments of his letter to the church at Ephesus. While this letter was addressed to the Ephesians, most scholars believe it was very much meant to be circulated widely among all the different congregations throughout that region. Like any good pastor, Paul warns his people to avoid buying into the pagan philosophies that are popular in the secular culture. He advises them to live as children of light, who take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Chapter 5, verses 8 and 11. But if simple avoidance proves not to be enough, Paul warns his people to be prepared to defend themselves against the evil forces that are sure to come to them in the form of temptation, doubt, and persecution. Paul illustrates this by using an image of a Roman soldier, which was something that everyone in his audience would be familiar with. When a Roman soldier prepared for battle, he would outfit himself with the armor that was issued to him so that he would be protected from injury. Paul then uses each piece of armor as a metaphor for the spiritual warfare that was sure to come to every Christian, calling it the whole armor of God, which he says can be used to stand against the wiles of the devil. While most of Paul's congregants would not have owned any armor, they still would have been very familiar with the armor that a Roman soldier wore. The point Paul was trying to make was that they needed to put on a defensive mindset and understand that they do have ways of protecting themselves if they know how to use them. Paul reminds his churches that the real threat to their spiritual safety will not come from enemies of blood and flesh, but the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers that constitute the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, he says in verse 12. These forces always tend to lurk in the darkness, but can be defeated by those who have prepared themselves to withstand the forces of evil and to stand firm. Paul then goes on to use the armor metaphor that every Christian should carry with them and be ready to put on. It is good to take note that, with the exception of the sword, all the other things on Paul's list are defensive weapons that are designed for protection only. An elderly person with a cane certainly does not look very threatening until it is put in the hands of someone who knows how to wield it to protect themselves. So should we also learn how to use the spiritual weapons Paul talks about for our own protection? What Paul calls the belt of truth is something we Christians keep close at hand, which is the truth of the gospel that Paul says will enable us to deflect the various untruths that the secular world constantly hurls at us. When we know what Scripture teaches, it will diffuse and deflect the evil attacks that come our way. The breastplate is a piece of armor that protects the heart. We Christians have always placed a premium on being nice. I have seen some elderly folks spend several minutes on the phone listening to an aggressive sales pitch or even a scammer when they ought to simply just hang up because they are just trying to be nice. The fact is, many criminals use our desire to be nice to everyone to their advantage when trying to scam elderly folks into sending them their money or gain access to their personal information. While we should be nice to everyone, we also need to guard against being naive. When Jesus sent out his disciples into the world, he sent them out two by two. He used the buddy system, and he warned them, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves." Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Yes, we are to be nice, but we are also to have a discerning mind. Again, when Jesus sent out his disciples into the secular world, he knew they would meet people who would try to take advantage of them or even use violence against them. That is why he sent them out two by two, so they could watch each other's back. One of the most basic principles of self-defense is always to travel with a buddy or in a group. There is strength in numbers, and criminals are much less likely to approach two or more people than someone who is all alone. When Paul talks about the shield of faith, he is thinking of the way that Roman soldiers gather in an organized group with their shields held up to protect themselves from spears and arrows. This is why it is so important for every Christian to be a part of a community of believers who meet together regularly. We all need to be part of a group that gathers together to provide mutual love and support and instruction and accountability. This is the main reason we come together as a church, because there is strength in numbers. When we worship together, learn together, and work together, we can then watch out for one another's welfare and help to fend off any attacks that may come to us from the evil one. Self-defense is just as much about having the proper mindset as it is about having the skills to wield a defensive weapon. Most martial arts instructors work on attitude even more than they do on techniques and how to punch or kick. The helmet of salvation protects the mind and reassures us with the knowledge that we are saved for a purpose. Paul reminds his people that they are saved from sin and death by what was accomplished through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we hold our most powerful weapon in reserve, which is the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, it was clear that he had a deep knowledge of the Scriptures and had committed many of them to memory. As Satan tried to convince Jesus to come to the dark side and lure him into committing sin, he tried to buy his loyalty. He used half-truths and even quoted Scripture, usually though out of context. Satan used many different tricks to try to trip Jesus up, but each time, Jesus simply quoted Scripture in response, which thwarted every attempt that Satan made. The principle that is illustrated here is very clear. The more we study the Scriptures and commit them to memory, the better prepared we will be to fend off the devil's lies and the half-truths that the secular world routinely tries to use against us. In addition to being ready to defend ourselves, Paul advises his people to pray without ceasing and to keep alert, which is one of the more important things we can do for self-defense. Praying without ceasing keeps our minds always alert to the world around us, to its dangers, but also to its needs and its opportunities. If Christianity is a crutch, as some have said, then let us learn to use it to defend ourselves so that we will not fall prey to the evil powers at work in this world. Let's take Paul's advice and learn well the principles contained in Scripture so that we will be prepared to skillfully fend off all the attacks against our faith that might come our way, so that we may be salt and light. Amen.